Hi, welcome to it. The very first episode of, I guess, what is currently an unnamed podcast.
I've got an idea.
Oh, really?
Rad Dad's podcast.
The Rad Dad's podcast?
Yeah.
We're going to go with that?
I don't know.
Okay, let's do that. Welcome to the first episode of the Rad Dad's podcast.
It only took, I promised you I wasn't going to jump in. It took me literally 8 seconds to be like, hey, what about this idea?
I'm cool with Rad Dad's podcast. Let's roll with that. And then cue sting.
Yeah. What's the sting?
I have to make one.
Oh, should we just put the do Rad Dad's?
Okay.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. The one that's already made. We don't need. Do we need to make a new one?
Nah.
Nah. I reckon just
I reckon don't have any sting,
yeah.
And just have us just doing that.
Okay. Cool. All right, so I guess let's get straight into it. The purpose of this podcast is every week we are in the Dad Cave. We're talking to interesting people. We're putting polls out into the Rad Dads community. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to create a bit of a space where I guess we took it a little bit deeper. We wanted to take maybe one or two of the ideas that came out of the Rad Dad's broader conversation and drill down. And it's a time where I guess we can capture a little bit of the many musings that go on between Will and I during the week. And occasionally we might drag in a guest or two into the podcast space as well and really try and pick up on the points that they have made. So I guess to kick it off this week, I'll stop saying I guess because I don't guess anymore. But one of the things that we spoke about with Pete Bethune last week was this idea of passion. What gets you up? What drives you? What takes you that extra mile? And what it is to be able to have a passion and hold that intention with, I guess, being a parent and everything that comes with being a parent. And so what I wanted to do was take some time out to drill down into where that comes from. Why is it important? And you know, how do you find one?
If you are, you know, new to the podcast and you're hearing us through not our usual channels, Pete Bethune, he's a sea boat captain and he is a conservationist, and he went to prison in Japan for standing up against whalers.
Yeah. He basically went to the nth degree for his passion, his purpose. And I think I don't think we're necessarily advocating that people need to do that per se.
No.
But it was a really fascinating conversation we had with him about how he held that intention with parenting. And I guess one of the things I felt was really quite curious was this idea that he was able to acknowledge that some mistakes were made as well.
Yeah, true. He did. And I hadn't really seen that, the more vulnerable side of Pete. If you've watched him in the media, he's either been showcased as the prisoner or this person who's kind of come through a lot of drama, but it's still, he has been, you know, the strong one. And I think what I really enjoyed, you know, seeing him in the kind of dad zone is that it was a bit more vulnerable. And I think that's where we maybe miss a little bit with connecting with men, is to say that, you know, if you're not just putting a blanket, you know, gender of male, what is it that makes us up, you know? And certainly he gave a few things into that, like taking his kids with him on adventures or taking other kids for rides on his cool boat. You know, these are things that aren't the headline, but they're what's the behind the headline? That's what makes up the story.
The story, yeah. It was definitely the bones, the meat of the story.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting is this idea of purpose. What it's, from my perspective at least, what it speaks to is a broader sense of identity as well. It speaks to that idea that we are all, you know, you have kids and you become a parent that has, it's a blanket term, it's something that's all inclusive and it has a certain level of expectation that comes with it, the do's and don'ts. But how do you give that parenting hat its own customization. How do you make that parenting hat yours? And my reflections on the week, I guess, have been, and it's something that I'm quite passionate about, is that idea that it's your identity and your passion informs that identity that kind of colors that hat, if you will, not to get lost in the analogy too much. But, and I guess it gives you the opportunity to own being a parent on your terms. And it's, I guess there's that tension of a lot of that sense of identity actually has to come from outside of just making sure that your kids survive the day.
Well, I kind of am super fascinated with everything you're saying in this wider topic, and I haven't quite got my head around it because for me, a bit that stuck out was he said in the conversation to us, if you're just raising another person, you're actually going to, it's going to be a net loss because it's just, there's a bigger problem, right? And the problem is productive humans and what we do about these things. And I can kind of imagine just raising little, you know, robots, or just raising these people who are really can only function on a limited level. And it's like, the question I had to him is, what do I do if I'm me and I don't go on seaboat adventures and I just go to work and come home? And he actually replied, well, you go down and help the local SPCA, and you go and help, you know, or just do something else than just raising another body. And so for me, that whole topic about what you do outside of parenting became super interesting, because my world for the last 10 years has just been about my close family. And occasionally I'll dip out into other things, but it hasn't been, certainly not thinking about what am I doing to with or for my community. You know, my community I thought was my family. And I'm now challenging myself to think, are we doing enough?
Yeah, and I don't even necessarily, you know, it's almost like I don't think there's anything wrong. There isn't anything wrong with that idea of wanting to make your family, your community, and that immediacy that comes with it. I think it's almost about what the world is missing out on. You know, it's actually going, it's in as much as it's about you, it's also about the world not being able to see what your kids look like and are shaped like when you have a passion that you then pass on to them. You know, when they look at their dad and they see, man, dad was sold out for that thing. And, you know, we saw it in Pete's daughters, and that, you know, one of Pete's daughters came to him and just said, hey, dad, I need this amount of money so I can go to an orphanage in Nepal, I think it was, and just serve. And that had nothing to do with them following in Pete's footsteps as a conservationist. But by observing Pete being the dad that wanted to exist beyond himself and beyond just being dad, they saw something in him. They aspired. It's funny. We had some of the media get in touch with us about our Prime Minister and her partner now being, you know, pregnant together and what have you. One of the questions that kind of came up was this idea of, what do you say to people when dads are just babysitting? And I sort of began to think about this, and thinking about the role of a dad and this idea that dads... And again, not saying that mums can't be, and not saying that mums aren't, because mums are superheroes in an entirely different light. But I think it's a dad's role to be that superhero, be that optimistic, slightly aspirational, the world's your oyster, what are you going to do, how are you going to shape and change the world kind of character for their kids. That catalyst that says, you know what, there's a big bad world out there that's waiting to meet an exciting version of you. And why don't you and I get together and how are you going to do that? And I think mums are really good at providing a safety net that keeps kids safe and confident and allows them to grow and to develop. And I think it's a dad's job to come in and challenge kids to get beyond themselves and to go out and to make their mark on the world. And I think, yeah, and I just think that lens of that, that passion beyond parenting that doesn't compromise the parenting journey but adds to it is just such an important, important part.
Yeah. And, you know, you said babysitter. Mm. And I'm like, actually, there's no more important job. I said it in our live stream.
Yeah.
It's you are basically, like, if you just changed the wording to bodyguard, you'd be like, wow, that's an important job. You're essentially a bodyguard. Mm. You're not babysitting. And hello, if you've babysat before, it's hard, especially the smaller they get. Think about this. When you're babysitting a baby, they can't talk.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know if they've broken a leg or they're just hungry or they just feel like crying. Because all three are possible.
Yeah.
And you only have probably Google. And Google ain't your friend when you type in anything medical.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's, I don't even want to get into that. But the fact that we would say, is dad just a babysitter? Yeah, if dad's role for today is babysitting, awesome. If dad's role tomorrow is doing the dishes, awesome. If dad's role is being the full-time stay-at-home dad, awesome. Whatever I kind of see dad as, I'll be what you need me to be. And our top priority is this little person is going to grow up. Mm. And if we can get enough of these things right, we would have succeeded. Even if you can get a few of them right, you'll still succeed. Pete said that. Mm-hmm. He had years where he didn't talk to his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of us would say, oh, man, you failed. But no. You know, remember Mike McRoberts, he said to us, I love thinking about this moment when he said they live for a long, long time.
Yep.
And why that is so interesting to me and you is because our kids are little.
Yep.
A long, long time ago is only a couple weeks ago, months ago.
Yep.
And I think we should be thinking, these are isolated incidents where people say, you know, babysitting, is that the role of fatherhood? Can I go into the changey room in a mall?
Yep.
Like, this is a conglomerate of years that we're investing in, and we may only be the best we will ever be when they don't need us anymore.
Mm.
But life in its weird way makes sense of that, because then grandkids come along.
Mm-hmm.
My dad always says to me, these are the best years, because I get to hang out with your kids and I don't have to discipline them.
Yeah.
I can eat as many jet planes with them.
Yeah.
They have this thing at the moment, it's a little bit controversial, and but I've decided to back it, where he has swear club with them. Where they can swear around him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of thinking this through, and I'm like, oh, is that all right? And I'm like, well, I'd rather them learn words from him than the playground.
Yeah.
And I'd rather them know when they can and can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a dad who just says, you can't.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it too many times when people say you can't have something, the first thing they do when they get a chance is do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been part of my issue as an adult, Greg, that I was allowed to do mostly what I want. Yeah. It just happened that my nature wasn't to drive cars fast or, you know, not saying that's not a good thing. I'm just saying I didn't pick the things that could have killed me.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything now that I really yearn for.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself in my early 30s, is that a negative? Should I have something which I'm like, you didn't let me have that, and now I'm going to start Apple. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And but again, I also don't, I think you, and I totally appreciate that position. And I don't think passion needs to necessarily come from a deficit mindset though either. You know, it doesn't have to come from a lack of something, so therefore you're going to go out and get it. You don't have to have necessarily have had this formational. I mean, I asked Pete, I said, you know, what was your earliest experience of injustice? This guy that was prepared to go into a maximum security prison in Japan for 6 months, you know, to basically try and save whales. And he said, I couldn't tell you. I think it was probably sometime in my 30s. So it's not, I don't think it necessarily comes from an incredibly deficit mindset. I think, I mean, I know for me, mine came from this idea of legacy, I think. And it's something that Katie and I talked about really, really early on in our marriage, this idea of if we're going to live a life and we're going to interact with the world, we're going to leave, legacy is inevitable. It's either going to be good, bad, or indifferent. And again, it's like, what do you want the color of your legacy to be? And what's the most logical kind of holders of that legacy will be your kids. And so that end result is, well, what do I want my legacy to my kids to be? And I think that's where I kind of landed in going, well, I want to know that my kids are well enough equipped through my experience of being able to try and look outward and not be so insular and focus on their own stuff, that they know how to interact with other people, how to maximize potential in other people, how to be awesome members of a team, how to contribute to other people being able to find their own happiness, and as much as they are comfortable in their own sense of identity. It's like if my kids are doing that on some level, it's in some point of their lives, I'm like, that it, for me is the, that is the ultimate, and that's on, it's mostly them, but I can at least look back and go, okay, cool, yeah, job done.
And you did something this week, Greg, that I analyzed, and it didn't really click until now. So just a bit of background, Greg's young boy, he rides BMX. That's Jack,
yep.
And he's already represented New Zealand, and you know, I tease Greg, I'm like, that's your golden ticket, bro. That's going to get you free stuff. But recently he broke his arm, and you did something, well, you've been kind of talking about it and trying to find ways for him to still be involved, and you had one picture this week, I think, on social media, which was him at the track, either standing at the top of where the bikes go down. But I thought, that's exactly what you're saying too. It's acknowledging that it's if you do all these things right, that's good, but you also have to still do these things when things aren't going well too. You don't get a free pass just because the critter's got his arm broken. You've still got to find a positive solution and a learning in this, you know, and I think you successfully navigated through, because the first thing I'm sure you thought about was, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this kid? That's his life, riding. Now he's not allowed to ride. He's going to be grumpy. He's going to hate me for it. He's going to, you know, never want to break his arm again.
Yeah.
But you didn't keep him away from the track. You kind of made him look at his role in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, cheers, man. I didn't even really kind of see it that well, but I can see what you're saying. But yeah, I mean, like in Jack's case, it was going, you know, his sister's ride. And there, you know, the competition that he's about to miss out on because he can't ride because of his arm. It's his little sister's first big interclub meet, and his older sister is in line to be able to probably hopefully make finals and finish in a good position. And so, what we've tried really really hard to do is be able to go, well, here's an opportunity to focus in. And basically, like you say, the job doesn't stop. You don't get a free pass just because your arm's in the cast. And it's also going that effort reward paradigm as well, being able to say, well, actually, not only is it good for you to be training while your sisters are at the track, but there's this dynamic whereby they train really well together. And so I get a better result in Molly's coach gets a better result out of her when her brother's doing laps and box jumps up and down, because she knows that he's in the same boat as her, rather than having him sitting on the sideline doing nothing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what you say. It's that idea that it carries on, it keeps going, and hopefully somewhere in amongst all of that is that idea that he is playing his part in being able to maximize his sister's potential simply by doing his thing in solidarity with her. You know, that it's not a, this is all about me, I can't train, so therefore I'm not going to train and I'm going to sit at home and play PlayStation. It's like, no, you're a part of, you know, we've dubbed it Team Buckley, and you know, there's three riders that are riding, and there'll be a fourth soon, and you've got a part to play in the team, and everything that you do has an impact not only on your own performance but on others. If you come off the track and you have a hissy fit and you throw your helmet because you haven't got what you want, that's going to impact your sister's ride, who's rides next after you. If you come in off the track with it, you know, if you've got a bad attitude up about this or that, or if you can't build your sister up if she has a bad race or whatever, and it's all interconnected. And I think it all comes out of that same spot, and it's like, if we can reflect on that and go, cool, we're going to get it right and we're also going to get it wrong, but on balance, that's the general kind of vibe, yep, then, you know, then we're winning.
I 100% agree, and it always boggles my mind that as adults, when we put it through the prism of family or childhood or all these things, we could probably all learn more. Mm. You know, we say our poll question was, and the preface of this podcast, the premise of this podcast is, you know, what's your passion outside? If you look at it exactly how you describe Team Buckley, your kids, yeah, it probably would give better scope than every scientific algorithm we can put on psychology and everything else. It's like, you know, look at the track, and that it's this platform that lots of people enter in from, so we have to be mindful of them. Then let's look at our own closed in group, and we've got to be mindful of them. And then that's only a slice of our day, because we'll be going to work, we'll be going to school, we'll be having dinner, we'll be sometimes dealing with things outside. And I like to get to that point and then say, man, it's cool that we don't always have to be thinking of these things, that a lot of these things are inbuilt in us,
yeah,
through whatever you want to believe, it's in us, you know? Like I was saying, you don't have to, there's no tick box that says, okay, your baby's born, love it. You know, it's like, that's just a given.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we're trying to express when we say things like, trust your gut, trust your feeling. You know, people like to write those things off now as like, oh, don't do that. You know, you're just, you know, there's literature on that, there's science on that. And I'm saying, that's cool. You know, that's useful, but sometimes, you know, you just know.
And I think, I guess, to very briefly step into the business or commercial world and going, actually, we can draw some really interesting parallels between commercial and business and parenting. You know, there's, you and I know the phrase data-driven insights. And we live in this world where data is supposed to drive all of the insights into business. But the really, really, really smart ones are now changing one word in that statement. They're data-informed insights.
Mm.
And so it's the shift from data-driven to data-informed. And this idea that the right thing to do will always be the right thing to do. And how do you know what the right thing to do is? Is it that you have a really well-established sense of brand identity, sense of culture within your business, all of those things. And they're really, really well-formed ideas within business that really forward-thinking companies are jumping onto. And so what would it look like, and I guess to help wrap this up, what would it look like for you and I and for the listeners out there to shift data-driven parenting to data-informed parenting? How do we shift our view of the world from, well, we've just got to, we're measuring by the numbers, to be able to shift and go, what does it look like to go, we're incredibly fortunate, blessed, whatever you want to say, to be able to live in a world where we have access to this information, but ultimately our sense of identity and culture and purpose within a family is going to give us the ability to make that data informed. It becomes a lens through which we see our parenting and our worldview, but it's not the be-all and end-all. And I think it'd be really interesting to get some feedback from those guys that, you know, might have listened and hopefully something might have been triggered. What does it look like for you to make that shift?
You can email us, raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com, any of your thoughts. We've also got a Facebook page, raddadsnz. And look, we really want this to be a two-way street. This is a platform for us to break down ideas, to talk about ideas, to give feedback on your ideas. All of the bits of the ways we are creating content is to spark this conversation. That's the unknown going forward, that we're writing off social media for all of its negatives, the addictive natures of it, how we can say anything and not take responsibility. I'm like, no, take responsibility, say it, but practice what the hell you believe in and get a community of people to challenge you to say, no, I want it this way, or you should be thinking of this. And it's all in real time. And I think it's going to be helpful. You know, even if you are on the toilet having a poo, this is an awesome way to like kind of expand your mind while you're contracting your stomach.
Stop it.
Sorry, it just sounded way more smart than actually when I said it. So do touch base with us, you know, give topics to us and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so I guess till next week, till your next trip to the bathroom or your next run or next just time where you get to hang out as a dad inside your own head for 5 minutes. Thanks for catching up with us. Look forward to checking in episode 2. And come on a bit of a journey as we shape what this podcast is going to be. Till next week. Thanks, guys.